Today on NFL Fantasy Live, the Rams got off to a hot start in St. Louis Monday, but Kaepernick and company came out on top. We've got highlights and analysis on the way. Plus, it only takes one trade to turn a fantasy season around, so our experts dish out their top targets to go after before it's too late. And it's Tuesday. We hit the waiver wire. Going to find you some fantasy gold. Your team's missing piece may be sitting there waiting to lead you to fantasy glory. NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose, starts now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Matt Money Smith here with Akbar Baja Biamila and the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Remember, you can always join the conversation by following us on Twitter at NFL Fantasy. Gentlemen, sadly, before we get to the highlights of that Monday nighter where we had some big production from those 49ers, some big news coming out of Miami on Tuesday. The Dolphins have placed running back Knowshon Moreno on injured reserve. His season is over. Moreno tore his ACL in the third quarter during Miami's loss versus Green Bay on Sunday. This is the same ACL Knowshon tore in 2011. So, Faz Akbar, with Moreno out, the bulk of the carries going to go to Lamar Miller, who performed well in his absence. Is he an RB1? Is he an RB2? Is he a must-start every week, beginning with this week?
Well, he's an RB2. I was 1 year early on Lamar Miller because I was talking about him last season. This year appears to be the year when he's going to break out. And he's got a really good matchup upcoming against the Chicago Bears, who have struggled against the run at Soldier Field. So, yes, money, RB2 territory for Lamar Miller this week.
Akbar, trading for Lamar Miller?
I absolutely would. In fact, I'll try to, you know, throw out some guys there to try to get Lamar Miller. But I put a stamp on that saying he is a solid RB2. And the way he played last week really showed that there's some things there. We saw some of the disappointment early last year. I think he just wasn't there. His vision is a lot better.
All right. For more now, we throw it over to Marcus and Adam.
Thank you, Money. I am Marcus Grant here alongside the fantasy maverick Adam Rank. And as always, we're getting you caught up with all the latest news and notes from around the NFL. We will start in Cincinnati. On Monday, when asked about star receiver A.J. Green's status for Week 7, Bengals coach Marvin Lewis said Green has a shot to play. Green is seeing a specialist this week about his injured toe, so we'll keep an eye on his status as the week goes along. Either way, Mohamed Sanu filled in nicely while Green was out. So the question is, can Sanu do it again against the Colts if A.J. doesn't play in Week 7?
Let's not talk about A.J. not playing. Where was all that one in a million talk you were just spouting about a moment ago? Like, the great thing about Mohamed Sanu, though, is he showed he could go out and be his own man and take responsibility out there as a number one receiver. And he put up pretty good numbers. The reason being is they have that strong running game. And, of course, when you have that two-headed approach, it's going to be tough for teams to defend them. Now, the Colts have given up a lot of fantasy points to running backs, not so much to receivers. But, again, they're going to have to commit one of those safeties down low, which, again, could open it up for Sanu. So even if A.J. Green's not there, Sanu is still a pretty good play.
Yeah, Gio Bernard opening things up for that passing game. Moving on to the Lions. In his press conference Monday, Lions head coach Jim Caldwell didn't rule out sitting Calvin Johnson through Detroit's Week 9 bye, saying, quote, "Fact of the matter is, I leave it up to the doctors. Those are the professionals. They know exactly what it takes, what can be done," unquote. Johnson missed last Sunday's game due to an ailing ankle injury, and the Lions' passing game suffered. So right now, Rank, if you have Matthew Stafford on your roster, how worried are you?
DEFCON 5. DEFCON 1. What's the worst
one? What's the worst one?
3. No, let's just have 3. Cut the middle, because I'm very concerned about this. Stafford doesn't have a lot of opportunity, not enough targets out there to throw to. It's a different situation, because Sanu has that strong running game that really makes teams have to respect them. The Lions don't quite have that. Joik Bell's a nice player. He put up a pretty good stat line, but he's not Gio Bernard or even Jeremy Hill, so this might be a tougher one. And if I have Stafford, I start looking at some of the alternatives. Joe Flacco might be an option. He's coming off a nice win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he's playing at home. Derek Carr, maybe. So there's some great, there's a good option, and then it's like, you know, then what are we going to do?
Yeah, not what you're expecting from Matthew Stafford at this
point. Not so much.
Not at all. Some bad news for the New England Patriots. An MRI confirmed Monday that running back Stephen Ridley tore both his ACL and MCL Sunday against the Bills. He'll miss the rest of the season. Ridley was the team's leading rusher with 340 yards. So Shane Vereen is next up on the depth chart, but we know how Belichick operates. Is it worth taking a chance on Brandon Bolden or maybe James White?
You did it now, Marcus. You just breathed. Jonas Gray is now going to be the guy. That's the way Bill Belichick operates. He does not care at all about our fantasy teams. And we can sit here and be, oh, you know, Brandon Bolden looked pretty good. He's going to be the guy who gets the ball near the goal line. Or we could talk about Shane Vereen getting an uptick in touches and targets and everything like that. And there was even a game earlier this season where Vereen was getting goal line work. But again, it could be somebody like Gray who comes out there. But again, I'll just follow the depth chart. Vereen's probably gone in your waiver wire right now, so I'm going to go ahead and pick up Bolden. Hope for the best. Look at some matchups you might be able to sneak him into. But again, the Patriots are befuddling, and it's just one of those situations where it should be really good because they've got good players on that team, but there's not a single person you can trust. He's the evil Sith Lord of NFL fantasy football.
This is why I stashed Kevin Falk. Eagles coach Chip Kelly confirmed Monday that running back Darren Sproles suffered a sprained MCL in the team's win against the Giants Sunday night. The Eagles have a bye in week 7, but Kelly told reporters that Sproles could miss a week or two. So if he's not around, how does that impact LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, I still see McCoy getting a lot of opportunities. I don't think that Kenyon Barner is going to come in there and start stealing touches or anything like that. So I like McCoy. I like what he's been able to do. I know a lot of people were down on him for a long time, but he is still one of the elite running backs in the game. And really, Matt Forte is the only guy I would want over McCoy right now. So whether Sproles comes back or not, it doesn't matter to me. McCoy's a must-start forever. Forever.
And go, 46 carries the last 2 weeks. He's getting back to being fine. Part of that offense. From where now, we'll throw it back to Money and the rest of the guys.
All right. Thank you, guys. The 49ers took on the Rams Monday night in St. Louis. So let's do it. Let's get to the highlights.
All right.
Here we go. In the loo, Austin Davis trying to keep it going. And, of course, Colin Kaepernick, the man that you projected last week. Akbar would have a monster Monday nighter.
It is.
Rams come out rolling, third and goal. And did you start Benny Cunningham?
I didn't. Probably not.
7-0. You know what? Only 0.4% of leagues in NFL.com started Benny Cunningham. So
they're smarter than us.
That's the answer I was looking for. Here we go into the first 3rd-and-1. Hey, Fass, did you start Lance Kendricks?
No. I didn't.
Akbar?
Nope.
Okay. 14-3, 49ers answer. 3rd-and-6 in the second. A big connection for Kaepernick.
Big
wow.
Brandon Lloyd.
I am so happy for him. We came in the same rookie class, 2003.
Well, there we go. You're sitting here. He's out there. Yep. 80-yard touchdown.
What does that say?
14-10. That was the longest touchdown pass of Cap's career. San Fran keeps it going at the start of the second half. 3rd-and-1 on the 11. Here we go.
Oh, he's out of the pocket.
A beautiful bit of passing. Perfect touch.
Right in. Yeah,
Kaepernick very good out of the pocket when he has to run.
Rolling to his left there. Anquan Boldin a big night as well. 17-14 now, Niners. And that was Bolden's first touchdown of the season. Pouring it on. Crabtree post. Corner.
Great
post.
Dino route.
Dino.
How about that?
Great throw.
32-yard strike.
You got that. You know, that's where it came from.
Yeah. Because see, it's
there you go.
Didn't
see what you're doing, but yes.
Fantasy points. No, it's a visual medium. It's the way it works. All right, Colin Kaepernick, you see it there. 29.42. And right there at the bottom, pay attention, 49ers defense, 14 fantasy points on the evening as well. We'll get to the Rams in a moment, but why not get it started on, well, the winning side, the big story of the night. After that slow start, Colin Kaepernick finishing with 343 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, had the 4th most fantasy points among quarterbacks in week 6. So, moving forward, Broncos this week, Sunday night primetime, still feeling good, Akbar.
I'm still feeling good about Colin Kaepernick because I mentioned that his performance and his development happened during the preseason. When you watch him during the preseason, looked awful, but he had to learn how to stay in that pocket, how to read defenses better, so he didn't have to rely just on being able to move out of the pocket. But when he moves out of the pocket, he rolls to his left. You see, he can make things happen. He's very good when it comes to improvising, but also his ability to understand what's in front of him. Colin Kaepernick, he's a fantasy star because he can do that, exactly that. That's run and get the edge. If you don't have a solid run defense, he's going to expose that, and now his arm is developing. He's got a strong arm.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick likely going to be started every week. Moving forward, what about Anquan Boldin, Fab? Starting him every week, including this week against Denver?
I don't know that I'm starting him every single week. There's a lot of mouths to feed. We've seen Brandon Lloyd get in the mix, Stevie Johnson, and, of course, Michael Crabtree. And that's just the wide receiver position, but he looked extremely good against the Rams last night. 7 catches, 94 yards, over 15 fantasy points. I say right now he's a borderline 3 or 4 in fantasy leagues at the wide receiver spot.
The one thing I'll point out is you see where all of these passes are going, Akbar, middle of the field, Vernon Davis territory. Yep. Davis has been so bad recently that Boldin is getting a lot of those passes that you would think would be intended for Vernon Davis. But what about Frank Gore, Akbar?
You know, he's been good faithful. I mean, he's the, you know, the ageless wonder, but this game didn't show up. I mean, 16 rushes for 38 yards, really? I mean, if you're a fantasy owner of him, I am. I'm highly upset at Frank Gore. You know, this run defense wasn't all that challenging where he couldn't be able to produce. I think Frank Gore's got to get his stuff together and be able to go out there and put up a better production. I still believe in Frank Gore, though. Having said all of that, I'm not going...
Those holes are closing pretty quick.
I'm not going away from Frank Gore. He still has it. He didn't all of a sudden just hit a wall. Remember, he gave you 20-plus points before.
And Carlos Hyde, here you go. If you started him, Fabs, great opportunity.
Not so much there.
There we go. Okay.
Again,
all right.
Give it to him again here. Shot and no.
Okay. But you know what?
One more.
You know what?
What do you think?
He's going to get one more time.
Come on. Third time's a charm.
They run God's play. They run power. There it is.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Not so good for Carlos Hyde. I'm wondering why those didn't go to another running back on that roster.
Well, should have. We will. Oh, what? Huh?
What?
Akbar?
It should have. It should have gone to Frank Gore.
Well, I guess before we move on to the Rams, Akbar, you got something you want to add here?
Well, of course I want to add something here. I mean, look, I was watching Jimmy Fallon last weekend. I saw him writing thank you notes, so I thought I'd do my own version of a thank you note. And I got to write a little letter here. I'm going to write this to Mr. Jim Harbaugh. Can I get some piano music or something? Dear Mr. Jim Harbaugh, why do you hate me? All I needed was 2 measly points. Did you go for it on 4th down with Hyde instead of Gore? Because you like James Cole better than me? Phil Dawson is my kicker too, you know. I know there have been rumors about players in the locker room not liking you. But right now, there's a player in the studio that is very disappointed in you. Love? No. Hate? No. Thank you, the Admiral. P.S. Tell Vernon Davis that he plays offense, not defense.
Are you all right? You good?
No, I'm not. I lost to James Cole.
Yeah? Can we get this man a tissue?
Akbar, I'm going to say you are the fastest writer I have ever.
I'm left-handed.
That was a lot of words there. All right, to the other side of the ball where the Rams went with a running back by committee approach. And here is a look at how their backs fared. You see the rushes pretty much divided evenly. 8-7-5 there for Zach Stacy, Benny Cunningham, and Trey Mason. Cunningham, of course, with the touchdown, and there is the difference in production. So, as we talk Rams running back by committee, that, of course, begs the question, who do we like?
I have no idea because, number one, great acting on Akbar's part because he just wiped an actual tear from his eye
and a snot bubble
after that performance. But I was worried about Zach Stacy coming into the season because I just didn't think he was going to be able to handle a big workload like he did as a rookie. Now they're using Benny Cunningham. And we saw Trey Mason, who was the best-looking running back of the trio, but, money, he can't pass block.
That's
so
terrible.
This is a mess right now.
It's going to be challenging. And when you looked at that, they used a lot of different formations to get that run game going against the San Francisco 49ers. Tough defense. We saw Tavon Austin. We saw Trey Mason. We saw Zach Stacy. We saw Benny Cunningham. That's four running backs that they can rotate in and out because of the hybrid nature of Tavon Austin. So it doesn't make you trust it.
Yeah, you go back to Stacy last year, and you saw the yards per carry, and you just can't win football games that way. That's not what Jeff Fisher wants.
He had a ton of touches every game. That's why he was so productive.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, with Trey Mason, it's nice because you have Brian Quick to take the top off of defenses, Tavon Austin, the weapon that can be used in multiple ways. It's just not coming together. Maybe it's the offensive line. For whatever reason, very hard to figure out if you can start any back in that Rams backfield. All right, no surprise, Jordy Nelson tied for the most targets in Week 6, but who else left a notable impression when it came to targets and touches? Find out when Marcus Grant gives his fantasy breakdown. But up next, time for Fantasy Game Changers. We reveal the players fans tweeted us saying helped them most this week. This is NFL Fantasy Live. Time now for Game Changers presented by Bose. Now, this season, we look to you for your help to decide which performances made the biggest impact for your fantasy teams. Tweet us using the hashtag Game Changers, and we might feature your tweet on an episode of NFL Fantasy Live, just like we're about to right now.
Okay.
All right, Fabs, let's start with, Joe Flacco.
He was on pace for, 20 touchdowns in the first quarter. He was absolutely phenomenal. The problem is not a lot of people started him because Flacco, not good typically on the road. In fact, he had more touchdown passes in that first half than he had in his previous 5 road games. He had only 3 in those contests. And moving forward, I just don't trust Joe Flacco. Great game. If you didn't get it from him, well, this is the best he's going to be all year long from a fantasy perspective.
I had a tweet from someone asking Joe Flacco or Cam Newton, and I said, Cam Newton! And
But that worked out.
It worked out all right, but I felt horrible after the first quarter of that game. Akbar, take us to Buffalo Bull. Brandon Oliver.
Yeah, you know, as long as Ryan Matthews is out, of course, this is the best and only option for the San Diego Chargers, and he's looking good. I can't believe he went undrafted because the way he's been playing is just, just at
love
an all-time high. I love it.
Love the number 43
course,
on him.
You know, it makes you think of Darren Sproles, but he's his own Sproles. He's his Oliver. He's Brandon Oliver. You should know him. You should be familiar with him, and you should play him every single week as long as he's the starting running back.
And you say it, with Ryan Matthews out, he has looked better than any running back in that offense all season.
The Jets, too, which is a very good
How was he not ahead of Donald Brown on the depth chart?
Well, he is now.
Yeah, he is now. Forget
you can lose your job to injury.
Very questionable.
T.Y. Hilton, clearly we go back to Thursday night, had that monster game, and when you get that sort of performance on Thursday night, unless you tweet to brag about it and it comes back to bite you, well, you feel pretty good going into Sunday. Here's why T.Y. Is a great option moving forward. He has 40 receptions for the Colts. That's the most. He has 601 yards for the Colts. That's the most. His average yards per catch is 15.1. That is the highest for Colts receivers. And his 20-plus receptions like that one of, I should say, his 8 receptions of 20 or more yards are also number one on the Colts. Yes, Andrew Luck trusts Reggie Wayne implicitly, but maybe this is the little breakout game from T.Y. Hilton to remind him of how good he was when Wayne was down.
You see what Mohamed Sanu is doing there? Feed me. And the guy has gotten a lot of targets. Feeded by, is that even a word?
No.
Fed.
I got Little Shop of Horrors playing in my head.
Yeah, my English language went out the window there. But Sanu is a guy that you could still pick up off the waiver wire. Right now, he's a free agent in over 60% of NFL.com leagues, which to me is amazing. While A.J. Green is out, Sanu needs to be owned and started at worst as a 3 in fantasy.
We are going to go to a defense, and this is back-to-back weeks. Last week it was the Packers. This week it is the Lions that put it on the Vikings.
Yeah, and they are hungry. You're talking about feed me, right? This is a hungry pack of Lions right here. This defense is awesome. You guys do know today is what, Tuesday, yes? Today is Tuesday, right? Okay, so that means that this is the player's day off. So as I'm talking to you right now, I'm multitasking. I'm actually talking to Ezekiel Ansah, who's responsible for 2.5 sacks. You saw him right there on the sack. This guy has been playing great, lights out as a defensive end, but that entire front is creating a lot of pressure, creating turnovers, and that's how they were able to get the turnovers here because the quarterbacks don't have enough time to see down the field. You can trust this defense every single week.
And just projecting forward, Bills hosting the Vikings this week if you want to pick up that waiver wire defense. All right, that was Game Changers presented by Bose. For more now, let's throw it over to Adam and Marcus.
Thanks, Money. Adam Rank here with NFL.com fantasy editor Marcus Grant. And every week on NFL.com, Marcus, you write a column called Fantasy Breakdown. Talk about it. Don't give me any spoilers. I haven't read it yet.
No spoilers? All right, so hashtag spoiler alert here. No, basically, it's the opportunities that a guy gets going week to week. You can't score fantasy points if you don't get the football. It's a pretty basic tenet there. So it's all about how much guys are getting the football.
Targets, opportunities. Let's take a look at the targets
that, right
now. If we got those coming right up, Jordy Nelson, of course, leading the way. 16 targets, 9 receptions. Mohamed Sanu, the aforementioned Mohamed Sanu, making the most of his opportunities. Matt Forte, the only running back on this list with 13 targets, the most amazing thing, 10 receptions. He's doing a pretty good job of catching the ball when it's thrown to him, unlike Vincent Jackson, who caught it just 4 times of those 13 opportunities. But one name that stands out to me the most, I am going to say, let's go down to Duval County and talk a little bit about Cecil Shorts III.
C-S-I-I-I. It's Akbar's boy there. You saw a lot of targets. You saw the 16 targets he had on the board this week. 10 catches, 103 yards. The fumble, not so good. But you like having him back in the lineup and having him healthy again. Blake Bortles realizes where his, I guess, veteran presence. He's still a young guy, but he's one of the older ones in that receiving core. Trying to rely on Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. A little bit iffy there. Cecil Shorts is getting open. He may not give you this kind of production every week, but again, he's getting the opportunity, and that's really all you can ask for.
It seemed like just moments ago we were talking about this Lions receiving situation with Megatron and everything, but Golden Tate, in and of himself, he's a pretty reliable option. What do we see from him going forward?
Well, I think you still have to be a little concerned. And, Rank, I know you and I talked about this last week. Without Megatron there to be a decoy, it's a little bit harder for him to get loose. Those 2 weeks that Megatron was unhealthy and still out there as a decoy, Golden Tate combined for 250 receiving yards. Last week, just 44, because you're going to see a lot more coverages rolling his way. They're still going to get the football in his hand. It's going to be harder for him, though, to pick up those big numbers.
One of the big things that stands out to me is they don't really have a tight end threat that right. would also take one of those safeties away. So yes. that's going to kind of harm him a little bit going forward. And now let's talk a little bit about the most backfield opportunities. Now, for a dumb guy like myself, can you explain what you mean here?
Basically, it's every opportunity a running back has to get the football, whether it's a carry, whether it's a pass target, just any time the ball is coming in the atmosphere of your running back.
So you're adding those two together, and we see Ben Tate sitting here, 25 rushing attempts for a guy who's been banged up all year. It seems like a very solid plan the Browns are going with there. Really like what they're doing. But, of course, on Sunday on NFL Fantasy Live, we used the hashtag BigGameDeMarco. We said that Murray was going to have the best game out of him. And Marshawn Lynch, how did we do?
He did pretty darn well there. You saw the 35 touches, 146 scrimmage yards, and a touchdown. You keep wondering how long the Cowboys are going to give DeMarco Murray this heavy workload. He's on pace for 424 carries. That would be a record. You're talking about a guy who's had 217 carries as a career high. I don't know how long this is going to go on, but as long as the Cowboys are riding with DeMarco Murray, I'm riding with DeMarco Murray.
Does he have 217 already? Is he there?
He's at 159. He's so he will be there over the next couple weeks.
He can get that this week. Okay, he's on the watch. One guy I really liked heading into the preseason, Matt Forte. I had him as my number one running back. I know. I've been talking about it quite a bit. But you know what? Going up against the Falcons, he really busted out 2 rushing touchdowns, his first of the season. What do we see from him going forward?
What I love about Matt Forte is we've been talking for a couple years about dual threat running backs and how they are the future. They are not the future. They are the present, and Matt Forte is their king. He is not necessarily doing it with a lot of carries, but if you look back the last 2 weeks, he is tied for 3rd most targets in the NFL behind Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones. So they're finding ways to get him the football, and we know what he can do in space. I don't care if it's a carry or a catch. I just want him with the ball in his hands.
That's the one thing everybody was freaking out. He's been putting up solid games each and every week, so Matt Forte is somebody you can trust. Also in this column, you talk about guys who are on the decline, right?
A little bit,
again,
yeah.
Okay, let's not spoil it. You got to go to NFL.com. Go check that out. Go check out Marcus's work. He does a very fine job. I'm going to go read it right here the show. All right, now, coming up, week 6 was full of overachievers. So which of those players are most likely to do it again? Find out when our experts break it down and tell you if you should believe the hype. And the waiver wire is where legends are born. See which players our guys say you can pick up right now and plug into your starting lineups.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Matt Money Smith here with Adam Rank, Michael Fabiano, and Marcus Grant. It's Tuesday. That means we help you hit the waiver wire. You get to decide whom to pick up this week. Fab's Ronnie Hillman showed us he can handle the load for the Broncos on Sunday and did it against a good run defense, the Jets.
No question about it. He had 27 touches in this game, too. So forget about anybody else in that backfield, at least for right now. Ronnie Hillman looks to be the featured back. And as you mentioned, that was a good run defense that he faced. Well, at least it had been before they faced the Chargers and the Broncos. So that caveat exists. Now, he's playing against the Niners this week, so it's a really tough matchup. But anytime a starting running back is on the waiver wire, pick him up. The fact of the matter is, he's still available in over 75% of NFL.com leagues. That is a lot of leagues. Go get him.
Yeah, specifically, I guess if you have Darren Sproles or Shady McCoy. Sproles the injury, Shady on the bye. Marcus, you want to talk a little Malcolm Floyd?
I do want to talk a little Malcolm Floyd. This is a guy that we forgot about because he missed so much of last year because of an injury. But he's come in. Not only has he been the deep threat for the Chargers, but he's becoming the guy that Phillip Rivers is looking toward. There were times in that game last week against the Raiders where they didn't even look to Keenan Allen's side of the field. Rivers was looking in the direction of either Eddie Royal or Malcolm Floyd. Floyd has consistently been the big play guy there. And I think, you know, like I said, we forgot about this guy, but he stepped up and he's shown why he was such a big part of that Charger passing game before he got injured.
And we love those tall drink of water, specifically in the end zone. You're going to talk about a Raider?
Absolutely. Don't be scared. Andre Holmes is the most targeted guy there with the Raiders. And you got to realize, with Tony Sparano coming in there and taking over that program, it's a new world order for them. Right there, Derek Carr is going to be allowed to sling the ball because everybody is playing for jobs for next season. Sparano probably wants to go on to be the head coach next year. Well, the reason, the way that will happen is if he can develop this passing game, and it's going to involve Holmes a lot.
And I hear that Holmes, a good egg there in Oakland. How about it, Fabs? You like touches, so you now like Jerick McKinnon.
You do, and I was on the Matt Asiata bandwagon. I have jumped off after what I saw last week.
It worked for you.
17 touches. It was good while it lasted. 17 touches last week. None of us knew that Asiata had fallen to second on the depth chart. Right now, McKinnon is owned in fewer than 5% of leagues on NFL.com, which is ridiculous. So he's explosive. I think he still needs to improve his pass protection. Maybe he's not a true featured back, but based on what we saw last week, Money, looks like he's the guy in Minnesota.
A lot of people maybe picked up Odell Beckham Jr. 2 weeks ago on the waiver wire, but maybe dropped him this week, Marcus, and you say go on back and get him.
Go back and get the ODB. With Victor Cruz now out of the lineup for the rest of the season, everybody moves up a notch in that pecking order. And Beckham, this is the reason the Giants loved him, and I know they were frustrated waiting for him to get healthy at the start of the season, but you've seen the plays he makes, what he does with the ball in his hands, and his quickness. This is even a guy I think could slide into that slot position that Victor Cruz leaves open and maybe prosper there. But like I said, everybody's looking to get more targets with Cruz gone.
Perhaps you only carry one quarterback in your league. You have to look to a bye if that quarterback is Nick Foles. Carson Palmer, a nice pickup this week. They do face the Raiders, but just moving forward, maybe you're in a deeper league, maybe a 14-team league. The one thing about Palmer is you're never going to be wildly disappointed. I think the floor for Palmer is 15 with the weapons he has, with the play caller and Bruce Arians that he has. You have that shot at 20-plus points, but this is probably your range, and that is not a bad thing if you did not invest a high draft pick moving forward for the remainder of the season. The playoff schedule looks a little tough, but for right now, Carson Palmer, a nice grab.
I like Timmy Wright.
I do, too.
Julius Thomas last week
nice
said
guy.
It was too easy. Said it was way too easy. He is a nice guy.
Nice guy.
See,
that's
don't
it.
You want, don't you want good character, guys?
Certainly.
Are you done? Can I talk about Tim?
Go ahead.
Now?
Talk about
okay.
him on the field.
Let me say this. Now, if you've got Jimmy Graham and you're in a little bit of trouble here at tight end, Timmy Wright is somebody that I'm looking at because I like the matchup this week against the Jets we were just talking about. Tom Brady is his quarterback, and now he's starting to look at him and realize the Patriots invested a lot in this guy. They traded Logan Mankins away to pick him up specifically. So I give him a great grade this week.
Hey, Tom Brady looked great this week. He's got to throw to somebody. Here we go. Cough notwithstanding. Look at Michael Fabiano's top 10 waiver wire targets for this week. Give me one name on there, Fabs, that you want desperately on your team.
Right now,
desperately.
With AJ
tomorrow
Green
morning, you
out,
wake up.
Mohamed Sanu. It's like Christmas, right? On Wednesday morning, you see who you picked up off the waiver wire. But remember, Odell Beckham not on that list, but he deserves to be among those top at least 11 players.
The problem is every Wednesday I get cold because I'm too good. Don't hit that submit button yet, because coming up we'll reveal the players you need to be targeting in trade talks and the guys you need to be unloading while you still can. This is the one and only NFL Fantasy Live. To whom it may concern, we saw some wild week 6 performances, but you can't believe everything you see. We'll tell you who's the real deal and whose hype is getting to your head. Plus, we talk the art of the fantasy trade. Find out whom to deal away and whom to make a play for while you still can. And if you want more waiver wire targets, well, we've got a plenty. Digging deep to find you those fantasy diamonds in the rough. NFL Fantasy Live rolls on. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Matt Money-Smith here with Akbar, Marcus, and Fabs. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter at NFL Fantasy. Quick reset here with the highlights from Monday night out to the Lou, an NFC West showdown, hence
what's
it
up,
being
Cap?
Held in St. Louis. There's Kaepernick, there's Austin Davis, and those sweet throwbacks, the gold and blues. And here we go, up 7-0 already. Rams, Davis, keep it going. Lance Kendricks.
It couldn't have been Jared Cook.
Nope. No, not that time.
Nope.
Lance Kendricks. 14-0. St. Louis, now the Niners coming back. This is already they have come back from 14-0 to 14-10. And you see Kaepernick extending the play.
Drop it in the bucket.
Dropping it
I
right
see
there.
Anquan.
Anquan Boldin. They go up 17-14. And now as they put it away, end of the third, Michael Crabtree. A beautiful route to break free for that 32-yard connection with Kaepernick. And as you predicted, Akbar, last week, Colin Kaepernick had a huge, you said he would have a huge game on
there
Monday
he
night,
is.
And he did, 29.4 points. Crabtree with that, it's my favorite route, you know, post corner post. Just
call
love
that
it.
Dino route.
Love it when it works to perfection. Anquan Boldin continues to defy Father Time with those 15 points. Now, moving on, there were a lot of surprising names that finished the weekend in the top 10 at their respective positions. So we're asking if fans should believe the hype. Akbar, get us started with Derek Carr, who put it on a very good San Diego defense.
Yeah, you know what? You would love to believe that this is the guy, Derek Carr. But Derek Carr's production was real because you look at the type of arm he is, the type of talent that he is. But do I believe the hype? Not even close. I think what we saw here is that John Pagano's defense got caught off guard. What ends up happening when you come into a game like this, there are certain tendencies that are displayed in the scouting report. Well, the tendency changed when you have a new coaching change. And, of course, you saw that with this, there are a lot of tendency breakers in this game that didn't fit for him. So we saw the production out of Derek Carr, but I wouldn't bet on him having this type of production.
So don't believe the hype.
Do not believe the hype.
All right, Fabs, let's keep it going with the quarterbacks and Tom Brady, a monster week against the Bills.
Tom Brady, first 4 weeks, no good. The last 2 weeks, unbelievable. In fact, he had more fantasy points in his last two games than he had in the first four combined, and it wasn't even close. I don't know, Money, maybe Giselle had him sleeping on the couch. Maybe that's what happened, and he said, you know what, I got to step it up here because he's been great. Now, is he back to being an elite fantasy quarterback? I'm not going to say that just yet, but the fact is Rob Gronkowski is seeing more snaps. More snaps from Gronk means better play from Brady. We saw it last year. When Gronk played, Brady was much better.
And Brandon LaFell in a reshaping, if you will, of their roster, cutting some former receivers to make room for others. LaFell never quite got it going with Cam Newton down there in Carolina, but he's big, he's strong, he is an athlete, and really, he's kind of all he has when it comes to somebody that's built like that. The fact that Tim Wright is now establishing himself as that second tight end. They run a lot of that 12 personnel, and that leads to man-on-man coverage for LaFell on the outside, and I like it moving forward, especially this week against the Jets, a team with a secondary that is racked with injury. Marcus.
I'm going with Torrey Smith. If you didn't start Torrey Smith, well, you missed your Torrey Smith game.
Did.
That was kind of it. He had those two touchdown catches and really didn't do much after that. He's second on the team in targets this year, but that's a little bit misleading when you consider the kind of routes he's generally running. Just a lot of nine routes, a lot of deep balls, a lot of low percentage throws from Joe Flacco. It's part of the reason Steve Smith has been better. So like I said, if you didn't get this Torrey Smith game from you, sorry about your luck. You might want to try to trade him away when he's at his peak right now because this is not going to continue.
This is odd. I see Cecil Shorts, and then I see next to it that Akbar would like to speak about Cecil Shorts.
I will, and let me tell you, because as you know, that Cecil Shorts and I are really good friends, and I know this for sure about Cecil Shorts. When he's healthy, he is a baller, regardless of what their record reflects for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But what I'll tell you here is that I don't trust it. I don't believe the hype when it comes to Cecil Shorts, and not because of his talent, but because of that offensive line. They're not going to give Blake Bortles enough time to throw the ball. They are leading the league right now in the amount of times that he sacked, 27 times. If your quarterback is sacked 27 times already in this week 6, you don't have a chance to get the ball.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. I think you're going to get an angry text from Cecil. But DeSean Jackson, boy, this guy is so unpredictable, most much like the National Football League has been this year. He either gives you 18, 20 points, or he gives you an absolute stinker. I'd be honest with you guys, I would sell high on him right now because I think he's going to be inconsistent the rest of the season. Sell high.
All right, Marcus, let's finish this up. Jordan Cameron has a 100-yard game with a touchdown in Cleveland. You buying it?
I am buying it because he is going to be a big part of the offense. The Browns were waiting for him to get back. They knew they were going into the season without Josh Gordon. Jordan Cameron has been banged up, but now he is back, and he adds another target to go along there with Andrew Hawkins and the sometime Miles Austin in that offense. He didn't have a lot of catches, but he did big things with him when he got his hands on the football, and I think he's going to continue to be targeted by Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, and you mentioned Hawkins and the sometimes Miles Austin. You look at those wide receivers, they're tiny. Yes. When you get into the red zone, you need a taller target. That's what Jordan Cameron is. No question, a good opportunity for you to maybe pick him up in a trade and buy. Well, I guess you'd then be buying high. So anyway. All right, fantasy fans, if you aren't sure whether or not to believe the hype about Cam Newton and Brandon Oliver, make sure you visit NFL.com/now to download our free app. We'll be breaking down more guys exclusively for you, the NFL Now viewers. And when it comes to the waiver wire, if at first you don't succeed, we'll try again, because we'll dig deep to help you find the best under the radar guys that need to be on your roster right now. But first, we fill you in on a few tricks of the trade. We're going to tell you whom to sell away while you can and whom to trade for without giving up too much. Friday, Doug Flutie was a can't-miss college superstar passed on by scouts because of his size. But his ability proved to be larger than life. Doug Flutie, A Football Life, Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose Money, here with Akbar, Fabs, and Rank. And we are 6 weeks in, so it is prime trade season. Let's talk about targets that we like right now. Fabs, get us started.
I'm going Le'Veon Bell. You guys know I like to go for the big name, and Le'Veon Bell is a guy that I think is going to continue to be a very solid running back for fantasy owners, but he hasn't scored in 5 straight games. So you got to try to trick the guy that you're trading with and tell him, hey, 5 games in a row, he hasn't scored a touchdown. He's trending downward. Lie, cheat, whatever you have to do to get Le'Veon Bell on your fantasy football team.
Steal? You left
Steal.
That out.
Steal, too.
All right, Akbar, who are you going after?
You know, I'm going to go for another big name, LeSean McCoy. Now, we know he has a name, hasn't necessarily had the production. Last week, you know, had a good game, 15 points. Fantasy owners hitting me up on Twitter saying, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm convinced by LeSean McCoy's performance. Well, let me tell you, it's been well documented about the attrition on this offensive line. They've gone through some mix and matches. I'm telling you, they are at a cohesive point now. This unit now knows each other, and it's very crucial. LeSean McCoy is going to continue to get this production.
And between the Sproles injury and the Eagles being on a bye this week, a perfect opportunity for you to try to snatch him away from somebody else in your league. Rank, you're going running back as well?
I'm going to go running back, but you know what? If I get a trade offer from either one of these two guys, automatically delete, because I know they're trying to swindle me. I'm going after Freddie Morris because he seems like somebody who's a little bit under the radar. You know, he's like the NFL version of a cheese pizza. It's good, it's great, but it's not spectacular, and people aren't, like, emotionally attached to it. So you can kind of go out, kind of convince somebody to give him up. He hasn't been playing too well over the last couple of weeks. He's not getting into the end zone, but it's going to turn around. He's got a great matchup this week against the Titans, so I'm trying to get him on as many rosters as possible.
You get the right cheese pizza.
I know.
Like a nice margarita. I'm going to disagree
Chicago
with you there.
And get that.
Fabs, you're keeping it going. You're coming off the bye, Mark Ingram.
Exactly. And Money, I know you love Mark Ingram. I'd try to get him now while his value is a bit low because he's missed some time. But when he played, the Saints ran the ball on 40% of the plays with Ingram as their featured back. And I think Kyrie Robinson moves to the back of the line. Pierre Thomas moves to the back of the line. When Ingram comes back, and the Saints are going to need him without Jimmy Graham, this is a guy who's going to see a lot of work.
We talked about it a little bit earlier in Game Changers, Akbar. T.Y. Hilton, I mean, well, you're really buying high here if you trade for him this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to be buying high, but if you're like me also, you realize that, you know, having Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green hasn't necessarily paid off for you, and you need somebody who's going to put up big points. Why not go for the big dog in T.Y. Hilton? Andrew Luck is playing at an all-time high. He's right now, T.Y. Hilton is the most. He's the most in targets, the most in yards, the most. Why not get him? Because this is not going to slow down for T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck.
I think that's Warren Buffett's philosophy and how he made all that money at Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, I'm trying to make some of that money.
Buy high, sell low. That's what you always want to do. Jordy Nelson, I know it's obvious he's the number two producing wide receiver. I said it at the start of the season. I'll continue to say it. At the end of the year, he will be number one. So you have that number one on your roster with a much more fancy name, say Julio Jones, say Megatron. I would trade any and every wide receiver for Jordy Nelson. 16 targets this last week.
Really?
He continues to be targeted. He always gets, well, doesn't always, but it seems like he is always getting those targets in the red zone as well. Again, I suspect he will be number one at the end of the year, so I would trade your big-name receiver to get Jordy now and watch Aaron Rodgers and Jordy. Oh, they make that fantasy magic. Look how gorgeous it is. All right. We now
take
gotta
it
flip
easy,
it.
Money.
I can't help myself. I see that 87 in green and yellow. And all right, time to flip it. Talk about some players that fans should be thinking about trading away. So that's who we want.
Oh,
who do you want to say?
Get out of here. Get off my roster. Get off my roster.
To whom will we trade?
Matthew Stafford, you. Who is Matthew Stafford? Why haven't you done anything for me, huh? And don't give me an excuse because Calvin Johnson hasn't been healthy.
Seems you're like supposed a pretty good
to be excuse. That is a pretty good excuse.
You're supposed like to be a big-time wide, quarterback, and you've got other guys you can throw to. Look at Russell Wilson. He's still being able to make some things happen, and he's got mediocre wide receivers. Why don't you do it with your other wide receivers? I'm sorry. If I sound a little upset, yes, because I am a fantasy owner of Matthew Stafford, and he's cost me some games. Last couple of games, he's giving you 11 points. What is that? Trade him away. Let somebody else who believes the hype get him.
I'll go back, I guess, kind of building on my trade Julio Jones for Jordy Nelson and why I would trade Matt Ryan. Unfortunately, did not have a good game. You see that there, 13 points. But the issue with Matt Ryan is right there, the offensive line. Just massive injuries up and down that O-line. That's what killed the Falcons last year, and that's what's hurting them now. Five sacks for the first four games. Now five sacks, you see it right there, in the last two. And when you have Julio Jones, who is the guy that takes the top off the defense and produces a lot of these points, and you don't have time, as you see right there, to let those routes develop, Matt Ryan is not going to be producing points for you.
Eddie Lacy, somebody I would probably get rid of. You know, I believe this might be a little bit too late, maybe 1 week too late to get rid of him. Hopefully you have a holder in your league who you'd still a little bit high on him because he is a number one running back, but he's starting to see his opportunities diminish because they're starting to get Jimmy Starks on the field a little bit more, and this trend is going to continue because if you watch the way the Packers play and you watch him not being very decisive right here, another trend, you know, he looks like Trent Richardson a lot. If you just change the uniforms,
that's
it could be Trent Richardson all
over. That's just the hair. Going after
that. Alabama running back.
And I believe he prefers Jim Starks.
I'm going Andre Johnson here, coming off a huge game. He scores a touchdown maybe once every 20 games. Sell high on AJ right now. This is the highest his value will likely be this season.
This is the
please
annual.
Please clarify with AJ.
This is the annual Fab sells Andre Johnson in mid-October. All right, for every action, there must be an equal and opposite reaction. So coming up, we tell you whom to drop to make some room on your roster for one of our deep waiver wire targets. You're watching NFL Fantasy Live. With NFL Now, never miss another game highlight ever. Subscribe today and you'll get instant game highlights on all your devices. Download the NFL Now app today. Learn more at NFL.com/now. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose. Matt Money Smith here with all the guys, and we are talking about deep waiver wire targets. So deep, you could have the most points in your league, and these players may still be available to you. Fabs, get us started.
Oh, how about Anton Smith? I mean, this is a guy right now who is ninth in fantasy points among running backs. He's the best fantasy running back in Atlanta, and no one has picked him up. He's still available in about 80% of NFL.com leagues. That's because his success is predicated on one big play. But in 5 of 6 weeks, he's had that one big play. He needs to be owned in more leagues.
Rank, give us a name nobody knows.
I'm going to go with Juwan Thompson, of course. If you have a top waiver wire priority, you should be looking at Ronnie Hillman. But again, Matt, like you're talking, if you're way down on the priority list, Juwan Thompson, somebody can go out and target because Hillman's grip on that position is pretty tenuous because last year we saw when he was given the opportunity to put the ball on the ground. So Thompson, somebody to go up and pick up.
Akbar, you're going with a Fresno State Bulldog rookie receiver here. Huh?
I am, because his quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. But you look, he's the third target wide receiver on this team. And what does that mean? Like every offense, especially an explosive offense like the Green Bay Packers, you need three wide receivers. He's that third wide receiver, and he has the talent to be. So if you're looking for a guy right now, you're down and out with your Calvin Johnson thing, you just maybe thinking a tosser guy, maybe a toss guy out there, you know, as a flex player,
try Devontae Adams.
All right, Devontae Adams over there in Green Bay. They just defeated the Dolphins. Yeah, you saw it right there. I don't know why I felt the need to bring that up. How about Clay Harbor, Marcus?
Well, I'm going Clay Harbor here because the Jaguars pass catchers have been a little bit inconsistent, especially the guys on the outside. And look, if you've got Jimmy Graham, you're struggling to fill that tight end spot right now. And Clay Harbor's a big target over the middle of the field, and maybe he sneaks into the end zone like he did last week.
Well, there you see a tight end. I am going to go, well, let's see. I think he's owning about 0.1% of leagues. Scott Chandler had those 10 points. You have a new quarterback in Buffalo. Kyle Orton likes using his tight ends. And look, tight ends are slim pickings. You got injuries at the tight end position. You have disappointments in Vernon Davis. At the very least, with a game against the Minnesota Vikings this week, a squad with a host of troubles, like we said, if you're the number one team in your league and you're picking 14th out of 14 teams, Scott Chandler may be there. Jimmy Graham, obviously, with the injury, that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? Right?
We got you.
And just in case you missed it, the Packers defeated the Dolphins. I want to make sure.
Okay. We got that clear.
I don't know why that was relevant.
That's going to do it for us today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for all of Michael Fabiano's starts and sits for week 7. Yeah, we'll see you then.